The first thing I need to do, she still got my name wrong on that video clip. My name is Gerard, not Gerald, and I hate being called Gerald, right? So I'm going to have to get her to come to the church and to repent on that, you know? If you want to annoy me, call me Gerald. Now, Pastor Barry sends his greetings from Portugal. He said somebody has to do it. He got an all-expenses-paid trip to Portugal, but he said he'll suffer on our behalf out there in that heat and the sun and the good food and the wine and, you know, the usual. So we just pray that he have a blessed time out there and God will refresh him, Lord, in body, soul and spirit. We also pray for the families of the four teenagers that were killed in Clonmel over the weekend, a tragic accident. And Lord, we ask you to send the comfort of the Holy Spirit on the family as they come to bury those four children this weekend, this week coming, Lord. Lord, thank you, Lord, that you're still a good God. I came across a book. To me, it's a mind-blown book, and I recommend it to everyone. It's from a Dr. Miles Monroe, Understanding the Purpose and the Power of Prayer and How to Call Heaven to Earth. It's brilliant. I will recommend it. I have a certain number of the copies of it. They're 15 euros. We're subsidizing, the church is subsidizing at the moment. I won't tell you how much, but it's a couple of euros. But 15 euros a copy for anyone who wants a copy. Let me know and we can order them for you. Okay. Now, do you feel insignificant and you're not worth anything, you know, and your prayers won't amount to much, you know, anyway, you know? I came across an African proverb and I thought it was brilliant. If you feel that way, you never spent a night in a room with a mosquito. You know how tiny these mosquitoes are and how annoying they are when in the middle of the night. And you can become a prayer warrior like a mosquito, you know. You can become very annoying to the devil, you know. Now this morning I'd like to give credit to Dr. Miles Monroe, Carter Conlon, David Jeremiah, Derek Prince, even Barry White. Barry is doing the series on prayer and fasting through this booklet. I'll be continuing on that theme this morning. And Barry will be continuing that from next week, for the next 3 weeks as well. So, when you go to the barbecue this morning, each one take one burger at a time. And so everyone gets fed first at least one burger. And then when everyone has their burger and there's more left over, you can go back for your second one. Okay? Let us pray together. Heavenly Father, you have said, and quoting from Jeremiah 33, verse 3, you have said, call to me and I will answer you and tell you great and unsearchable things you do not know. On the basis of this promise, we call to you and ask you to show us great and unsearchable truths about prayer that you have set forth in your word. Forgive us for leaning on our own understanding when it comes to prayer. Heal us from spiritual and emotional effects that unanswered prayer have worked in us. Give us open minds and hearts to hear your word and allow the Holy Spirit to teach us your purposes and truths. We pray this in the name of Jesus, our wisdom and our strength. Amen. In the book of Esther, we see the incredible example of how the holy desperation of one person can change the course of history. Let me set the stage for you. The people of God lost their presence, the provision, and the protection of their heavenly Father because they had dealt lightly with the things of God. As a result, they were conquered, they were captured, and spent 70 years in Babylon. And Babylon itself was conquered by a nation called the Medo-Persia. And King Cyrus eventually allowed the people of God to return home to rebuild the temple and the testimony that they had lost here on earth. When God has a plan for his people, the devil will come up with a counter plan, and it always involves oppression, threats, and even death. This theme is common all the way through history. We see it in the book of Esther. Imagine if those who plotted to kill all the Jewish people in that day had been successful. We can conclude that the temple would not have been built. Jewish history would have been entirely different. In fact, it would have affected all history. You know, 95% of scientists in the world come from Jewish background. You know, through medicine, you take it right down to all of science, and most of them are from a Jewish extraction. So, what was God's plan to thwart the scheme of darkness? Of course, we typically consider Esther to be the star player in this whole story because she was the queen. She prayed, she fasted, went before the king and petitioned him. I want to suggest to you that the real hero of this story was a man called Mordecai. Now, the Persian king had issued a decree that the people of God should be wiped out and eliminated. When the news reached Mordecai, a family member of Queen Esther, the wife of the king, he began to intercede. We can turn to Esther 4, verses 1 to 2. When Mordecai learned all that had been done, Mordecai tore his clothes and put on a sackcloth and ashes and went out into the midst of the city. Notice that he didn't go into his little prayer room. He went out into the middle of the city and he cried out with a loud and bitter cry. He went up to the entrance of the king's gate, for no one was allowed to enter the king's gate clothed in sackcloth. Here was a man whose heart was gripped with a holy desperation, but not for himself. This is where prayer finds its power. When we finally get away from our own struggles and trials, this is not just about God save me, but rather God save your people. He was just a lone voice dressed in sackcloth and ashes, repentant for his sins of his people as much as he knew how. Notice that Mordecai went as far as he could physically go. In a sense, this is a picture of somebody going as far as he could go in his prayer. At the start, I mentioned about the relay races and the wonderful Irish team getting to the final. And please God, they'll get a medal in the final tonight. You know, as I said, he was like a runner in a relay race. He ran as far as he could, and then he stretched out the baton to somebody in his family who was supposed to be the next runner. The problem is, the next runner did not even know that there was a race, let alone that she was supposed to be the finisher of this race. And unfortunately, this is exactly what can happen to us. And continuing on in Esther 4, verse 3 to 5, in every province, wherever the king's command and his decrees reached, there was great mourning amongst the Jews, with fasting and weeping and lamenting, and many of them laid in sackcloth and ashes. when Esther's young women and her eunuchs came and told her the queen was deeply distressed. She sent garments to clothe Mordecai so he may take off his sackcloth, but he would not accept them. Then Esther called the Hashtag, one of the king's eunuchs who had been appointed to attend her, and ordered him to go to Mordecai to learn why he was doing what he was doing, and what was going on, and why was he doing it. Society was turned against the people of God, as it is today, leaving them seemingly powerless to defend themselves, and Mordecai simply would not accept any comfort. He had a holy desperation in his heart. Perhaps he suspected that something dreadful was about to happen. If this situation was not somehow countered by the power of prayer, and continued on with Esther 4:16-13, Hashtag went out to Mordecai in the open square of the city in front of the king's gate, and Mordecai told him all that happened to him, and the exact amount of money that Haman had promised to pay into the king's treasury for the destruction of the Jews. Mordecai gave him a copy of the written decree issued in Susa for their destruction, so they might show it to Esther and explain it to her, and command her to go to the king to beg his favour and plead with him on behalf of her people. And Hashtag went and told Esther what Mordecai had said. Then Esther spoke to Hashtag and commanded him to go back to Mordecai and say, all the king's servants and all the people of the king's province know that if any man and woman goes to the king inside the inner court without being called, there is but one law, to be put to death, except the one to whom the king holds out the golden scepter, that he may live. But as for me, I have not been called to come to the king for the past 30 days. So they told Mordecai what Esther had said. Then Mordecai told him to reply to Esther, do not think to yourself that in the king's palace you will escape any more than any other Jew. For if you keep silent at this time, relief and deliverance will rise from the Jews from another place. But you and your father's house will perish, and who knows whether you have not come to the kingdom for such a time as this. There is a fear in the hearts of many people today that will cause them to draw back and try to persevere themselves. But Mordecai said to Esther, don't be fooled into thinking you will escape because you carved out some nice little niche for yourself. Likewise, this evil is not going to pass over your house either. You have a choice. You either perish or you fight and invoke the holy God to do what he can only do. Then Esther told them to pray to Mordecai, go gather all the Jews to be found in Susa. Hold a fast on my behalf and do not eat and drink for 3 days, night and or day. I and my young women will also fast as you do. But then I will go to the king, though it is against the law. And if I perish, I perish. Mordecai then went away and did everything as Esther had ordered. We thank God for Esther, through the intercession of Mordecai, seriously took up a burden of prayer, throwing her life into it. She opened the door to God's plan, God's provision, and God's power. She did eventually take up the baton, but she took it because somebody else began to pray. It reminded me of a situation, perhaps one might say, nobody in my family is walking with God. I am the only one. If this is something you identify with, I challenge you to go to the king's gate. Go with a holy desperation. You may be surprised when you see who else rises to take up baton in your family. You see, others will not pray if we do not pray. They will not have a burden if we do not have a burden. It is not enough just to try to push somebody else into the arena. No, we must go to the gate ourselves. Remember, all it takes is one person with a holy desperation. he is a heart to change history. It is the person who declares, I cannot give up until God moves. I don't care who tells me to be quiet. I don't care if people tell me I'm too extreme. Esther came out at that time of fasting and prayer with a wholehearted dependence on God. And God gave her incredible wisdom. I believe God, this is a word for us all. I believe the Lord told her when to speak, how to speak, what to speak, and why to speak. When you pray and fast, watch the influence God will start to give you over your family, even if you don't know what that you were supposed to be in the battle. Perhaps you spend most of your life in self-preservation. Your prayer is all about yourself. But today, God is challenging you. There is a bigger battle out there. A whole host of people who have no power to defend themselves against evil. And you're in a place where you have access to the throne of the king. They don't, you do. They do not even know that there is a king who would move his scepter forward towards them. They have no knowledge of the goodness of God because they're so distant from the throne of power. However, you are in a place where you can go to the king and the king's favour will move towards you. The king said, Queen Esther, what is it that you would have me do for you? You and I know that Esther was seeking to have this law of sin and death cancelled over our people and a new law written that would give them power to stand up and not only to fight back, but be victorious. And remember, it was not just about the people in the Medo of Persia at that time. It's about those people who would eventually leave Medo of Persia and return to Israel and rebuild the temple and testimony of God. It was a link in the chain that could not afford to be broken in the redemptive history of God on the earth. Thankfully, this incredible link held, and the people of God were delivered. Families were given the power to stand up and fight again, back against the onslaught of hell, all because of one man who would not quit. One man with a holy desperation in his heart. If you're going to pray for something today, let it be, God, give me a holy desperation. Give me holy desperation for my family. Give me holy desperation for this generation. If any of you are downtown or late at night or over the weekend, you see the queues of teenagers trying to get into or falling out of the nightclubs later on at night. It was absolutely shocking and an eye-opener. They're going down there half-dressed, as if their parents had no control of them. We need to pray for this generation of young people. You know, they're not going to do it, lads. We have to do it for them. We're the intercessors for them. And where do we do it? We do it in the prayer room. We do it in the corporate prayer room, not individually at home. You know, we started this series of prayer on the 3rd of January. And every week we will continue on in prayer. But we haven't seen a huge increase of numbers in the copper prayer room, which surprised me with all the teaching that's going on at the moment. Lord, we need to stand up. We need to copper sense on because it's not happening. You know, the Bible says we have to be doers of the word, you know, not just hearers of the word. Lord, we need a desperation for this generation. Give me holy desperation to see your power release and the weight of darkness that is trying to swallow a whole society push back. And we can see that a whole society has been swallowed up. I encourage you to stay in prayer, whether it's 2 minutes, 5 minutes, 10 minutes, 15, an hour. It does not matter. Stay in prayer until the power of God comes upon you. Stay in prayer until you see clearly what is the will of God is for your life. Stay and pray until you know in your heart that God is going to use you to reach your family. Pray for the family of God and for your own family to become engaged in the spiritual battles for people today. Pray that your sons and your daughters, your brothers, your sisters, your mum, your dad would all pick up the sword of the Spirit and begin to fight the battles of God. Pray that those who are cowering would be given courage. Pray for power to stay faithful until the answer comes, as Mordecai did. Pray, and let's believe God together that there is going to be a moment of mercy in this world and an end time spiritual awakening in this society. We pray for Waterford now this morning, Lord. We pray for a spiritual awakening in across the city of Waterford and county, Lord, and across this whole country, Lord. We pray for every church in this city and every church in this country, Lord, that you will fill it to capacity. I have a vision of this church, not just we have seating for 200 people here. I want to have a church of 1,000 people here and filled every Sunday. Yeah? And we need to push down these walls and expand this church. We can only do it one way, and that's through prayer. Lord, we give you thanks for your word this morning. And do enjoy the barbecue. And Sarah, there's plenty of food for everyone, so don't be... Just enjoy and stay for the fellowship as well. God bless you all.